Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Now it's time for scripture reading. And the scripture is found in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11, which is found on page 330 of your pew Bibles. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven.
Good morning again. Sermon this morning is entitled Elijah Called Home. I've preached all through the life of Elijah, and now it's the end. But let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your love once again. I ask that you send the Holy Spirit into this room. Be with my words. Let them be only yours. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to wrap up the life of Elijah. And when you think about, when I think about in wrapping things up and end of life, it makes me think of my grandfather, who is still alive, but not doing well at this point. Clarence Southard, my grandfather, was an incredibly strong man. He grew up on a farm milking, I want to say, if I remember right, 50 head of cattle a day by hand. He'd fill up those old milk jugs that I don't remember. I've seen them around. But he'd take one in either hand and pick them up like this and put them in the cooler. Just a strong, strong man. When he left the farm, he went to college and he was on the gymnastics team. He was a gymnast, and he'd reach up and grab the single bar, and he'd start swinging, get some momentum, hanging out with one hand, where he'd go all the way around. You know what I mean? Just when Callie was dedicated, give or take 9 years ago, he challenged myself, my two brothers, and my brothers-in-law. I think we were all there. There's four of them. Now, this is 9 years ago, to a one-arm push-up contest, and he could still do them. Grandpa became a pastor. He was a Seventh-day Adventist pastor and did that all his life. Part of the way he pastored was he raised a garden. And when he'd go visit somebody, he'd take them food. He'd stop, and if they were working on a piece of equipment, he'd help them for a while, talk to them. He became friends with them. And every place he went, everywhere the conference sent him, he physically built a church building. So he had construction background along with his preaching. So he raised up the building and the congregation. And he always has some funny quip. Always did, still does. They don't come quite as fast anymore. And you would never expect it coming from him. He was, give or take, the size of Carlton. Big guy, filled out, huge hands. I don't know how the cows would deal with being milked with a guy with such large hands. Till I was 9 years old, I had the privilege of growing up right next door to Grandpa. And just learning from him, he taught me things like how to milk goats. I've milked goats for several years. It was Grandpa who first taught me how to shoot. Grandpa is not what he used to be. He could fill a room with his voice. Very similar to the way I can. In fact, I get it straight from him. Grandpa's got Parkinson's disease. His hands have got a tremor. His voice is not half what it used to be. And I dread the call when I have to go to Oklahoma for a funeral. But you know, Elijah's life did not end that way. Elijah was told by God that he was going home without dying. He was one of two men in the Bible that did that. Enoch was the first, and Elijah was the second. And we get the story in 2 Kings chapter 2. Verses 1 and following. We find that in verse 1, God tells Elijah that it's time to go home. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now, if you remember back, after Elijah talked to God on the mountain, listened to that still small voice, Elijah was sent to anoint Elisha to follow him. And from that moment on, Elisha served Elijah. If I mix up the ja and sha here, we've got to work with both of them for a minute, so just bear with me. I'm going to try to keep them straight. And they resided in Gilgal. Elijah and Elisha leave Gilgal. Now, Gilgal is a place of beginning. As we look back at the history of the Israelites, when the Israelites first camped in Canaan, it was at Gilgal. It's a place of safety. It's a place where they got started. It's a place they're still protected. You know, that's where we all start, isn't it? We start at a place of safety. But we can't stay there, because God doesn't call us to be stationary, does he? He calls us to action. And Elijah and Elisha move from there. Well, verse 2. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." What do you think Elisha says? He says, you think, okay, I'll stay? No. He says, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went to Bethel. My first thought is, why Bethel? Well, we'll notice as we read that in Bethel and in the following town, there are schools of the prophets, which Samuel established, and they deteriorated over time, and Elijah reestablished or built back up. So Elijah, knowing that he's about to be taken, goes to the schools of the prophets to encourage them one last time. So they go to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" Now, Elijah was told he was leaving. I find it interesting here that Elisha also knows, and the sons of the prophets also know. What we don't know is whether Elijah told them or whether they knew because God told them. Presumably, Elijah didn't know they knew. Continuing, and Elisha said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Why would he tell him to be quiet? My thought is this. If you know something is coming to an end, do you not reflect on the past? It's Elijah's doing a walk. He's at Bethel, and he's reflecting on what has happened there. Bethel is a place of prayer. In fact, Bethel is where Abraham set up his altar to the Lord. And we move from a place of beginning to a place of prayer, where we commune with God, we grow, we get strengthened. And we can see all these in the life of Elijah. We see strengthening and prayer at the brook Cherith, where he was by himself, talking with God for a while until everything dried up. And then when he was with the widow of Zarephath, and he was prayed to God and strengthened, and trusted God for the daily food again. And he was strengthened so much that at the end of that time, he was able to raise her son from the dead. And again, in verse 4, Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. Now we move from a place of beginning to a place of prayer. What happened to Jericho? The walls fell down, a place of battle. So we look back in the history, we see a big battle, the whole building leveled. Of course, it was repopulated by now. And in Elijah's life, Mount Carmel was an all-out battle. He took on 450 prophets of Baal by himself, with God. And they won. His battle didn't end there, because his battle continued as Jezebel threatened his life. And then he took off. He got scared. He ran. We get the weak point in his life. Place of battle. This is the place where when we, as we're walking with God, we have to fight. Do we have an addiction we need to give up? Do we have to fight to maintain a relationship, whether it's with God, with a spouse? This is where a lot of us are. We're in the battle. But it doesn't end there. And again, the sons of the prophets at Jericho came to Elisha, and again, "Do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you?" So he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." And again, Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. I don't see Elijah here trying to separate himself from Elisha. "Now just leave me alone, let me do my thing." I see him as testing Elisha. This is, if Elisha would have just gone on, he would not have been the next prophet. Likely. Or if he did, he wouldn't have been half as powerful. This is the test here. Are you going to stay with me no matter what? And Elisha, he does. No matter where Elijah goes, he's right with him, supporting him, helping him all the way. Like a good friend. I've got a couple of those in my life, thankfully, that no matter what happens, I can always call them up. And if we're walking alone, it gets pretty bad without those friends that we can pick up the phone or knock on the door and say, "Hey, I got a problem. Can you help me?" We can't just need friends. We have to be friends as well to those around us. Because without us together, all of us would fall individually. We're in verse 7. "And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan." So they left Jericho, the place of battle, and they went to the Jordan. And I picture them up on a hill overlooking, not really being part of it, not crowding them, just observing. And it gets real interesting here. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. Now has this happened before in history? Almost exactly like this, hasn't it? Who was it? Moses. That's right. And it was divided, that is the water, this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Just like when Moses did it. They crossed on dry ground. The Jordan, we've got a place of beginning. We've got a place of prayer. A place of battle. And now a place of death. Now, a place of death, what dies? And as we walk through our lives, if we just do what we do and we die, that's it. But that's not where we're at. If we give our lives to God, that doesn't have to be it. And we're told we must die daily. So we have to get to this place day by day to kill our self-will at the Jordan. Because without killing it, it'll kill us. And so it was when they crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I may do for you," we're in verse 9, "before I am taken away from you." And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." Now, double portion. Sounds like Elisha could just be greedy, right? I want twice what you've got. Not really. When you look at double portion, the firstborn child in a family was given a double portion above what everybody else got. So this is Elisha asking to be the heir, or the successor to Elijah. So he said, "You have asked a hard thing." Basically, being the prophet of God, it's not easy. Short warning there. It's not easy. "Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be." Then it happened as they continued on and talked. And I'm going to pause right there. They've been from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to crossing the Jordan in dry land. And now they're walking and talking as friends. Companions. Nothing special. They're not discussing the church politics. They're just walking and talking. Again, how important it is for us to have that friend that we can live life with. Walk and talk, support each other. As they continued on and walked and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Can you picture that? Just walking along, talking with my buddy, and all of a sudden, whoosh, chariots, fire, gone. Wow. Wow. What a thing to see. And Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And so he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. I've lost my leader. The prophet of God is left. It's a grief. He also took the mantle that Elijah, took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. So he tore his own clothes, and then he picked up Elijah's mantle. And it says, and he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. So he's taken the mantle, and now he's going back. He's headed home. There's nothing else to do. He's got this body of water now, though. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the God of Elijah? And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that. And Elisha crossed over. So we see clearly that the power of Elijah, that the power that Elijah had through God, has now passed to Elisha. And Elijah, like I said at the beginning, was one of two people in the Bible to go to heaven without death. But there will be more. If God comes soon enough, and He is coming, if He comes soon enough, all of us that are walking with Him will go straight up to heaven and not have to see death. If He delays, some of us may die. But that day will come when He comes again. And in a moment, in a twinkling of eye, those who were dead first will be raised to meet the Lord in the air. God has given us the opportunity to meet Him without death, hopefully. But regardless, He's given us the opportunity to meet Him. Are you walking with Him as your best friend? Close enough so that when that time comes, you will meet Him? Or is there something in your life? Are you still fighting some demon, something that's keeping you from God? We walked from a place of beginning, which we all look back at. We remember how it was like at the beginning when we started our walk with God. The passion we had. Some of you are right there, those that have just been baptized. You're right there. It's a beautiful place. You move from there to a place of prayer, where we grow, we get stronger, and from there to a place of battle. where the closer we are to God, the easier the battles are, because we rely on Him and not us. And then we come to a place of death. And if we're walking with God, that place comes quite regularly, because self does not like to die. And then we're home. Whether we die and sleep, or He takes us home. But again, my question, are you walking with God so that when He calls, you're ready to go? Jesus is calling each of us. And if we love Him, He will take us home. Our closing hymn is number 248. Oh, how I love Jesus. 248. Let's stand. Bow our heads. Father, I thank You for the call to go home that we will each see one day soon. I thank You for Your guidance, for Your love. I ask now that You hold each of us close as we strive to walk with You. Go with us now as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.